This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Ethanol is back up testing the highs for the year made in June. The little recovery that we have had in corn prices thus far has not hurt ethanol margins much. Green Plains Renewable Energy stock is tracking the ethanol market. There was a big spike in unleaded gas futures Tuesday on news that a backhoe operator hit a gasoline pipeline in Alabama that brings as much as a third of the gasoline consumed by the East Coast. There was an explosion with one killed and several injured. There were two pipelines, one diesel and one gasoline. They got the diesel pipeline back in operation right away, and they say that they expect to have the gasoline line back in operation Saturday. That was a wake-up call for a lot of things, one being how vulnerable just-in-time inventory management can be for critical commodities. They have previously had a leak in the pipeline. A 12-day shutdown of the pipeline caused gas prices to jump 20 cents in the East Coast during that incident. These pipelines from southern refineries to the northeast U.S. go back to World War II, when Franklin Roosevelt had the government build the first ones to escape the German U-boats that were sinking too many tankers off the East Coast. Dakota Access Pipeline protesters will seize on this, although that pipeline will pump crude. Remember that Bakken crude is so sweet that it will burn too. Even lightning strikes and oil seepages in the Bakken fields start fires. The weekly petroleum report was a bearish surprise. They were expecting a 1 million barrel increase in oil stocks, and it was 14.4 million instead. That was the largest weekly increase in over 30 years. Gasoline stocks fell 2.2 million barrels, and the pipeline feeding the East Coast that was broken was still burning. Ethanol production continues to surge, yet stocks decline, signaling strong demand. Ethanol production relative to daily gasoline was 11.13%. The E10 blend wall is getting a dent put in it. Hillary's campaign chairman reportedly asked in emails whether supporting the RFS was worth the loss in oil contributions to the campaign. The answer was yes, near as we can tell, as they chose to support it. Don't you wish that we could read the Trump campaign emails? Maybe China stole those and didn't give them to WikiLeaks. We're getting closer to the lame duck session that the biodiesel industry is depending on for getting another extension to its tax credit. RAG stock is waiting on the outcome. They need the credit to be able to afford soy oil and make money. Nothing is ever a slam dunk in Congress, and there is opposition to a number of energy-related tax credits in the House. The GOP is fossil fuel financed and opposes many green energy tax benefits. There is a reason why the oil industry gets tax breaks, and the corn feedstock ethanol industry does not. The ethanol industry is making money without subsidies. You're listening to the Comstock Report. On the cattle, there's a lot of differing opinions about why and how the cattle market fell as hard and fast as it did. I read one where a producer wanted an investigation, blaming it on imports. No, imports had nothing to do with this. Beef did not rush into the country to take advantage of our terrible prices. In fact, our terrible prices acted as a barrier to imports. Neither did high-frequency trading or even futures volatility. Both are being used as scapegoats for blame. When the cattle market fails and feedlots absorb large losses, producers typically blame it on the market. I give some blame to the lack of cash market transparency. Trading cash cattle in a 20-minute window after the futures market is closed for the week on Friday afternoon was nuts. So was basing the price you get on a formula calculated from almost non-existent price discovery. The reason for the disconnect between cattle and beef prices was most of the reason why the cattle market wrecked. Retailers were 6 months behind where they needed to be, reducing beef prices where they should have been to reflect lower cattle prices. Instead of the NCBA focusing on the futures market, they should have laid the wood to packers and retailers for price gouging consumers. They just don't do that. They describe themselves as industry partners and always give them a buy. They also want them to sponsor their next annual NCBA meeting. Corn and soybean producer associations do this too. It is hard to push Syngenta on MIR 162 when you want them to be the gold sponsor at the next commodity classic. I see this as a conflict of interest, and producer conventions need to pay their own way without selling out to commercials. The NCBA talks about working with major retailers as industry stakeholders, but they don't appear to be able to move them much. Producers just got screwed for millions of dollars and don't appear to know how they lost it or who they lost it to. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.